Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Psalm 27:4. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. I want to call your attention to the fact that the insert in our bulletin today is outstanding, magnificent. And we want to be sure that you pay close attention to that insert, take it home with you, read these magnificent and wonderful verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. All of us know that our purpose of being here today is to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is wonderful for us to have this magnificent and wonderful opportunity to advance spiritually. We grow in grace and knowledge by being in fellowship with our Lord. And that's the reason why we spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin our scripture reading and study, realizing that we have to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit in order to properly grow and advance. The Scripture tells us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Anytime God gives commands, He makes it possible for those commands to be fulfilled. Being filled with the Spirit is not something unusual or strange or mysterious. It is normal. And that is that when we pray and we ask for forgiveness, He forgives us, He cleanses us, and we accept the fact at that point of time we have the fullness of the Spirit of God that enables us to be able to properly receive and utilize truth. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today once again for Your wonderful Word. So much is here for us to learn. We're the recipients of truth. These are magnificent days for us as we open our hearts and minds to the Word of God, realizing that we've gathered here today together for the purpose of carrying out what this verse is actually telling us to do, and that is to assemble that we might be able to advance spiritually. We thank You for every blessing. Be with us in these moments of study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you're going to see Ephesians 3:19. This is a magnificent verse. Over the past days, we've analyzed verses 16, 17, 18, and now verse 19. The reason why I mentioned those four verses is because there is a tie-in for us to put together these four magnificent verses. On Wednesday night, we'll be sharing some additional information to let you see how beautiful these four verses fit together. But we begin reading, and to know the love of Christ. Excelling knowledge, in order that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What I need to tell you is that in a few moments we're going to look at this verse more exegetically. But I need to tell you that when you look at this verse, you will see that the verse says, in essence, and to know. And there's a little word here which most of us would not pay much attention to, because when you study the language, you will discover that there are verbs and nouns and adjectives and on down the line. There are particles and there are articles. This particular one is a particle. And the reason why I mention this is because this is a word that is used in the classical Greek that is a enclitic particle. The word enclitic simply means that there is a tie between what we have in the content of verse 19 and what we have in the content of verse 18. I don't need to go into any long detail explaining what an enclitic particle is, only to tell you that what the Apostle Paul is doing by the Spirit of God is telling us here that we have a responsibility of knowing the content of verse 18, which we've already studied, and now verse 19. Verse 18 is telling us that we have the responsibility of assembling ourselves together so that we can comprehend the Word of God in the midst of the saints. Now, that's a beautiful thought. And normally we can read that verse 18, and then read verse 19, and that misses us altogether. What this is telling us is that there is a connection. The enclitic particle says that there's a connection between the content of verse 18 and the content of verse 19. Verse 18 says that the assembly of believers is where we learn. And so I'm trying to let you see that the content of this verse shows us that what we're doing right here, right now, as an assembly, a body of believers, our purpose is to learn and to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge, in order that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Last Wednesday night, those of you who were here will remember, and if you missed it, I want to be sure that you have this information. I presented to you nine words. These are important words, and the reason I recapitulate today is because if you heard this, then it's good for you to hear it again. If you didn't hear it, it's good for you to hear it for the first time. What we have is nine words, and I have them in another page in the Greek and also in the English, but here we just have it in the English. There's the Greek word cardia. If you'd like to put that word down, you ought to, because it is a word which is translated heart, which means the mentality of the soul. The second word is nous, N-O-U-S. You may not have known this, but you have a nous, and that means that you have a mind. So the word nous, N-O-U-S, is the word mind. The third word that you see on the screen is the Greek word noeo. You can immediately see that there's a connection between nous and noeo. The word nous is the word for man. The word noeo is a verb which means the utilization of the mind, which means thinking. And that's what you'll be doing as we move along in this session today. Then we go to a word that all of us have found very familiar over the years, and that is the Greek word gnosis, which is the word for knowledge. If you don't have that word down, please write it down, because it's a powerful word in the New Testament. The next word is the word phroneo, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. And when you come to that word in the New Testament, you'll find that it deals with objective thinking, to think objectively, not subjectively, but to think objectively. When you're hearing the communication of the Word of God, you are to think objectively and utilize what you're hearing in an objective fashion. The next word, number six, is the Greek word dokeo, D-O-K-E-O. And that is the word which means subjective thinking, subjective thinking. We're going to see as we move along today that this is not a good thing for us to move away from objective thinking to subjective thinking. And then the next word, most of us are very familiar with this one. It is the Greek word epignosis, which means full knowledge. You'll see that the word epignosis is a compound word. Gnosis is the word knowledge. Epi means over and above, so it means full knowledge. What we're going to be emphasizing in the second session today and on Wednesday night is the information that you have as an insert in your bulletin, which deals with the subject of workable knowledge, and it is the word sophia, or wisdom. And then the last word you see on the screen is the Greek word sunesis, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, which means the ability to comprehend and utilize those things which we're learning. The reason for our being here today and the reason for this particular session is for us to become alarmed at what can happen to us as believers if we take in God's word, which is gnosis, and then we stay with that word dormant in our lives. This is very important for you and me to be able to see today that it is important that we not only hear God's word, but we continue to add to it more of God's word. And then we continue to blend that truth with faith. And then we begin to store that into our innermost beings. And then we begin to utilize and make application of those things which we have received. Now, if you've taken in what I've said in the last few moments, you've been able to see that you and I have the responsibility of taking the Word of God, that which we hear, and not just let it sit, not let it lie dormant. And we're going to be talking about that so that you can see. And I've realized how powerful this is and how it's important for me to reiterate what I gave you on Wednesday night so that we can not be guilty of allowing gnosis to remain dormant. What I'm calling this now is advanced study. If you can see this from where you're sitting, it is human spirit. Some of you are thinking right now, oh, not again. But I want you to see that I have put under the two words human spirit, advanced study. Please pay close attention. The human spirit is the immaterial part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual truths. Now, you'll notice the way I have it on the screen for you. The human spirit is the immaterial part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual phenomenon. In other words, to receive spiritual fuel, to convert, to store, and to utilize. Over these years, we've emphasized, I glanced back in my notes of years past and realized that it was in 1987 that I was preaching on this particular passage of Scripture. That is, what, 31 years ago. Some of you were not even born 31 years ago. Some of you were young 31 years ago. I got to thinking about the weddings that I performed in our church over the years, It's amazing to me how many weddings I performed and how the couples have grown up and had children and the children have grown up and had children. And I'm seeing you folks sitting in this auditorium today. So I want you to know that what I'm presenting to you is not new information, even though some of you may not have been born to hear it that many years ago. The human spirit is the immaterial part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual truths. Notice when I got to this point, I realized that I needed to have some subpoints. So, subpoint one. The Holy Spirit is designed to take gnosis, knowledge, and convert it to epinosis. Some of you may wonder why I use these Greek words. I do it because I've been able to see how powerful, fantastic this is, and how it will change a person's life when they are able to see and understand and comprehend the meaning that is found in these unusual and beautiful words. The word gnosis, as I've said many times, and you already know, is the word for knowledge. The word epinosis is full knowledge. In other words, we're to take gnosis and transfer it over, advance to the point that it is full knowledge. It is knowledge that can be utilized and applied. When I came to this point a week or so ago, it dawned on me that I needed to share some things with you that I have not shared perhaps in detail in the past. And so that's the reason why I continue right here. Subpoint one says, the Holy Spirit is designed to take gnosis, knowledge, and convert it to epinosis. And then I stopped while I was typing this information. And it dawned on me that I needed to type this. And so I put in parentheses, and I show you now on the screen. Don't allow gnosis to lay dormant. Don't allow gnosis to lay dormant. If gnosis remains without some blending, some addition, it can become sour and become useless rather than phroneo, which is objective thinking. It can become dokeo, which is subjective thinking. Now, you'll have to understand, and you have to go with me into my mind for a little while for you to be able to see what I'm seeing here. It is important for me to share with you what I'm seeing, because if I share with you what I'm seeing and you begin to see what I'm seeing, then you'll see how powerful this is. It says, if gnosis remains without some blending, without some addition, it can become sour and become useless. Rather than objective thinking, it can become subjective thinking. All of us have old sin natures, and we can receive truth. And if we're not careful, that truth can become sour. What I mean by that is, we're not advancing. We're not adding to. We're not blending faith with it. We're not utilizing what we have received. And so, because we have a sinful nature, Satan's power starts coming in and throwing into us his influence of moving us from phroneo, which is objective thinking, to subjective thinking. Please notice what I'm saying. Subpoint two. Epinosis, then, is designed to activate truth in the soul. If we're in harmony with the Lord, we receive spiritual fuel like you're receiving now, and we begin to add to that, we begin to store that, we begin to utilize that, we begin to accept it by faith, we begin to comprehend the truth that we've learned, we begin to utilize and apply those things. And it is objective thinking. It is not subjective thinking. It is phroneo, not dokeo. And you may not be all that interested in those Greek words, but I want you to be able to see the content that I'm presenting even more than an emphasis upon the specific Greek words. Number three, there has to be the conversion of gnosis to epinosis, which will result in Sophia. And Sophia, as all of us know by now, is the word wisdom. The question I have for you is, what do we mean when we look at the Greek word Sophia, wisdom? What does the word wisdom mean? Well, let me put it on the screen for you. This sub point four. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. What I've taken you through now is a series of steps. I've taken you in understanding from the Word of God, the word gnosis, which is knowledge. There's not anything wrong with that. There is something wrong, however, when gnosis sours. I have difficulty talking about that because I have to let you know that there's no such thing as truth souring, if you understand what I'm saying, as far as truth is concerned. But what I'm talking about now is not truth as far as truth is concerned, but the truth that you and I have taken into our lives. And we're not applying, not utilizing, not adding any more to it. We're not blending it with faith. And so it sets up in our lives and it is not what it ought to be. And Satan comes in very quickly and begins to foul us up in our thinking. And we are involved in dokeo, subjective thinking, rather than phroneo, objective thinking. If you heard this once today, you've now heard it two or three times. And there's a reason for me repeating, because I want you to see how unique this is. If we take gnosis, God's Word, and we start adding to it, we start converting it over into epinosis, we begin to utilize it, blend it with faith, trust the Lord with the information, make application of that information, it moves into Sophia, which is wisdom. And wisdom is the application of knowledge. Number five, subpoint five. Sophia is objective thinking. Not subjective thinking. Sophia is objective thinking, resulting in epinosis, which becomes usable in the mentality of the soul, which is the cardia. If I came and sat by your side at this very moment and asked you to give me a brief summary of the information that I've just given in the last few minutes, I want you to know that I'm going to give myself an A, because I believe that you heard it. I believe that you understood it. I believe that you accepted it. I believe that you are able to comprehend the information that I've been giving. So you see, I'm patting myself on the back now, and I'm giving myself an A because I'm of the opinion that you've listened very well and you're able to summarize what I've given you in the last few moments. So, note here, I said, gnosis can be converted to imagination. Noeo, thinking. The mind functioning, but not functioning in the proper manner. In other words, you can take truth and it can move into imagination. Thinking, the utilization of the mind, which is not the best. Number two, gnosis can be converted to dokeo. What was the word dokeo? Subjective thinking. You notice I put not good. I don't want to be ugly to you. I don't want to be ugly to myself. I want you to be able to see with me that we have the responsibility of receiving truth, but not just having truth, but adding more truth to the truth. Believing the truth, storing the truth, making use of the truth, utilization of the truth, comprehending the truth. You follow all those words that I'm using there? I want you to see. Gnosis must be received quickly, quietly, converted to epinosis, so that epinosis can go to the end of the runway, where the plane is ready, sitting in the takeoff position. The takeoff position of the soul. So that when airborne takes place, it can become Sophia, wisdom, the application of knowledge. I've had more fun with this. I'm having fun even now presenting it. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go back to our verse. It's in the bulletin. The reason why we put these in the bulletin is for you to be able to see. We even have translations for you to be able to follow along there. It says, with the enclitic particle here, which ties this verse onto the preceding verse and reveals to us the fact that the assembly where we're meeting now is God's plan for learning. The church is designed by the Heavenly Father for learning. That's why we don't move around, we don't talk. We listen attentively and carefully here. And the reason is because the desire of the pastor is the protection of your individual soul. And I cannot protect your soul if I let you just move around, talk to each other, and become enamored with each other rather than become enamored with the truth. That's the reason why we have the best congregation in the world. No congregation. I haven't been there, so I don't know. But I can tell you, I've concluded that this is the best congregation in the world as far as tuning in and listening. That's the meaning of this enclitic particle. And to know. But I want to tell you something about the word know. In the Greek, it's an infinitive, which means a desire. It's God's desire. The Apostle Paul is telling us here that it's his desire for the Ephesian believers. The pastor stands before you and loves you today and lets you realize that it is his desire for all of us to desire to learn and to know knowledge. And to know. To know what? To know exciting knowledge. Would you allow me for a few moments to get carried away with a word in the Greek? I want to give it to you and then we're going to talk about it. H-U-P-E-R, hooper, B-A-L-L-O, ballo. Huper is a preposition or prefix here that emphasizes to over, and ballo is, we could say ball, and it would mean to throw over. If we're using it from a word standpoint in the English, it would be like throwing a ball over. So it's huperbalo. We translate it excelling knowledge. I wanted to know how I could do this and do it justly and rightly with three sermons. So what I did, I noticed, if you will notice, in the bulletin, I put excelling knowledge 1. Then I put excelling knowledge 2. And then I put excelling knowledge 3. Now, that may not make all that much sense to you, but what I want you to see is I could not spend 3 sessions on this verse and not let you see that the emphasis here is excelling knowledge. Excelling knowledge. And there's a reason for this, and we'll deal with it on Wednesday night. In order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Oh, my. The Greek word there, we'll deal with it on Wednesday night, is the word pleroo. It has a bunch of different meanings, but one of the major meanings is to fill up a deficiency, to feel full, to feel overflowing. Notice, if you will, it says to fill the fullness of God. But you'll notice it's a subjective verb. We'll talk about this Wednesday night. You and I may or may not ever get to that point. And that would be sad if we never get to the point of the word pleroo, to fill up the deficiency, to fill full, to fill overflowing with the fullness of God. Okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to just stay here and get carried away, or am I going to move on? I look at the clock and I see I'm still having time. Ephesians 3:19, exegetically. I sat in type for you, making a living or making a life. Making a living or making a life. Which? This verse gives us the secret. Now, all of us have to make a living, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in the midst of making a living, the most important thing for you and me is to make a life. You follow what I'm saying? This verse, verse 19, explains how to attain true capacity for life. To scale the peak of knowledge. The word knowledge in this verse is the infinitive, meaning that each believer should have a desire to move gnosis far up the knowledge scale by continuous learning. What I have to tell you is, this is individual. No one can do this for you. It's you, personally. I cannot afford to stop. When we get a message from God's Word on any given day, we cannot afford to stop and let that become sour. The word here is surpassing, excelling knowledge. It's presented with the word H-U-P-E-R, gnosis. Gnosis, when becoming dormant, can become ineffective and sour, lasting for a few moments, lasting for a few minutes, lasting for a few hours, or even lasting for a few days or weeks or months or years. It could be briefly or a period of time. Now, you're going to do me a favor. I want you to open your New Testament to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26. We're going to spend the last few moments of this session letting you follow me as I read. I want to take you just for a few moments to the closing hours of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified. Was there any question in our minds, or would there be any question in our minds about the love that the Lord Jesus Christ had for his disciples? I'm letting you think with me. We're coming in our thinking now to the last few hours of the life of Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. What I want you to see is, as we look at a man by the name of Peter, and we're going to look at these verses slowly, I want you to see that it is possible for a man who ranks along with John, or perhaps even Paul, who could allow some things take place in his life that gnosis sours. What I'm happy to tell you is that when I see and get into the life of Peter in these moments of the sourness of his gnosis, I can happily tell you that it didn't last long. It didn't last long. And I would want to say to you, and I want to say to my own heart, when gnosis becomes somewhat sour, please, please, don't let it stay that way very long. Are you with me? Are you going to be able to see what I'm going to tell you as I read these verses? I did you a favor. Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, we find the record of the last night of our Lord's life before the crucifixion. His disciples had been with him for some preceding years. Now, chapter 26 describes the momentary souring of gnosis in the life of Peter. As I've already said, when you study the life of Peter, you will discover that he ranks along with Paul and John. But look at what's happening now when truth lies dormant. Matthew 26, you have your Bible open. Verse 1. Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came about that when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be delivered up for crucifixion." I read 1 and 2. Skip down to verse 20. Matthew 26, 20. "Now when evening had come, he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me.' And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.'" Verse 25, "And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' He said to him, You have said it yourself. Then I listed here, read 26 through 30. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread after a blessing. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is to be shed on behalf of many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 31, then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night." I want to stop right there and hear what Jesus is saying to these disciples. You will all fall away because of me this night. And then there's a quote from the Old Testament. For it is written, "I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." That's Zechariah 13:7. Verse 32. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." You're following along. Look, please, now at verse 33. "But Peter answered and said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times." That's what happens when gnosis, however great gnosis is, becomes sour. Read on. Jesus said, "You shall deny me three times." I've just read for you verse 34. Peter said to him, verse 35, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." If you will now, let's look. I'm trying to let you see that I've marked these scriptures because I cannot read the entire chapter. Go, if you will, please, to, I read 31 down to 40. Let's read verse 38. "Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." I feel like I need to stop here and let you see something with me. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus is coming to the last moments of his life. He said to them in verse 38, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." I mark for you to look with me now down to verse 58. "But Peter also followed him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, entered in, sat down with the officers to see the outcome. verse 59, and the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false witness against Jesus in order that they might put him to death. And they did not find it, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.' The high priest stood up and said to him, 'Do you make no answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?'" Verse 63, Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Oh, my. And the high priest tore his robes, verse 65. "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fist. And others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who's the one who hit you?" Notice 69, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus, the Galilean." Look what he said. He denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, verse 72, he denied with cursing, "I do not know the man." Are you able to see what can happen to gnosis when it sours? "I do not know the man." Verse 73. And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away." Verse 74. Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And the rooster began to crow. Please notice. And Peter remembered. Those are powerful words indeed. Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said. What were those words? "Before cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. The most powerful words you're going to see now are these. The scripture says, "He went out and wept bitterly." Wept bitterly. At that moment, sour turned to sweet. And that can happen in your life and mine, and should happen, when we determine not to allow gnosis just to sit there and not be transferred to epinosis. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to go to the cross to do what He's done, as we've read here, to die for the sins of the world. And we've been able to see in the life of this man, a great man of God, where things can take place that will cause an individual to not be where they ought to be momentarily, but they can be changed and quickly changed when the decision is made to take gnosis and move it to epinosis. We thank You for the opportunity to study this today. Help it to be very meaningful to each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.